This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode number 121. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Improved Photography Podcast, your weekly dose of photography knowledge directed, infused, should I say, into your earbuds. I'm Jim Harmer, and today I'm joined by Jeff Harmon. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks.
And, of course, Darren Meller. Well, Darren, we had an awesome week in China last week, and it was just an incredible trip. We're going to talk about it a lot more in the episode next week, share some of the things that we learned, and also invite you guys to come and join us next year on a trip back to China. But this week, it would be impossible to talk about anything but Lightroom. But before we get that, we want to just remind you of our Instagram photo contest is just wrapping up. So be sure to go to Instagram.com and use hashtag improve photography on a photo that you'd like to see each of us, the hosts of the Improved Photography Podcast, edit in our own way. So you can kind of see different ways that we're doing it. And you'll win, of course, the grand prize of Box of Captain Crunch. So we want to talk about Lightroom 6 here. First of all, what were your initial impressions of it, Jeff?
Well, I didn't have my hands on it for a while there. All I had was they did a good job. Adobe did a really good job of getting information out to some mainstream photography media teams, lots of news outlets, so that they had some hands on so that on launch day, there was lots of information about new features, what was there, what they liked. And there were some cool features I was really, really excited for. And so I even wrote an article on the website that talked about the features I was looking forward to, not having had tried them yet because it was launch day and I didn't have it, but reviewing kind of the features that I was really, really interested in. They emphasized speed a lot, which we're going to talk a lot more about. And then I liked the HDR and the panorama, the ideas there, and some unique things, at least with the panorama, that I think are important. And then the finding the faces, face detection, that was exciting to me. But mainly it was the speed that I was really looking forward to, having that be a lot better. I was, you know, when I come back from a photo shoot and I'm importing the pictures, it takes so long. I'm very used to just sticking the card in to the computer, push an import, and I go do something else for a while because it takes forever. So I was really hoping that the speed would be improved.
Yeah, and so when we're talking about import, we're not just talking about the time it takes for the information on the card to show up in Lightroom. We're right. talking about when you're culling through the photos, you go to one photo and it's loading, 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 pop, and then it's sharp, and then you can rate it. And you go to the next photo and it's loading, 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 pop, and it's sharp, and you can rate it. That's the real time suck on import. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Well, and when I import, to make that go faster, the culling process go faster so that I'm not waiting in between so much, then I have it build the smart previews and the one-to-one previews. There's two different kinds there. And I have it build both of those on import. And then that really helps as I go to cull them that I don't have to wait all that long. It's more like a second or so in between them, which is much better than waiting for 10, 15 seconds in between photos to try to get through them.
And so, Darren, what did you think when you saw the news and you saw what's in Lightroom 6 or Lightroom CC, whichever version you have, the new Lightroom? What feature most excited you?
I think it was HDR because it's really was kind of hard for Photoshop to fall from the floor because Photoshop's notorious for handling HDR in a very poor way. So I was very excited for that to have a more subtle HDR look, and then facial recognition really popped for me. That way I could utilize that in the algorithm. But otherwise, it was definitely a speed issue as well. I was wanting to see the culling process speed up, and then I would like to see the ability to go through and star rate hundreds of photos in a much more efficient manner. That was really what stood out. Otherwise, it was just kind of that new shiny object syndrome. We're like, I got to get it. It's new.
Yeah. Okay. And for me, yeah, the performance is definitely something that I've been interested in. It's fine. It's not like it's unusably slow to use Lightroom. It's fine. But I think when you're shooting high volume and you're shooting a lot of photography, it really does start to wear on you when things aren't quite as speedy as you'd like them to be. So I guess those are some of the features. Others kind of neat smaller things that came out in this are when you put a gradient filter on a photo. So let's say I have a photo of the mountains and the sky behind it. The sky is still kind of bright, and so I put a graduated filter on the top of the photo. So it's darker at the top, and then it's a gradient down to be transparent. Well, that's fine where it hits the sky, but what about the mountain peaks that are reaching up into the sky? Then that gets hit by the graduated filter, and you can see that something's up. It doesn't look normal. And so the new feature that was added in Lightroom 6 is that you can now basically a brush, but it's really just an eraser for the graduated filter. So you can put the graduated filter on and then erase parts where you don't want it to touch. So that was another kind of cool little addition. I do need that sometimes, especially as a landscape photographer. Any other little things that you guys saw that looked exciting to you?
It's going to be really tiny. Most people probably won't even care, but because collections are the way I prefer to organize things in Lightroom, it's a big deal to me that they added on import that you can automatically have it added to a collection when you import. So it's one fewer click that I have to do or remember to do after they've imported. I frequently forget, and then I have to go back and do my collections later when I remember. And it's much easier now to have that right up front and say, when you import it, I want you to put it in this collection.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even see that one. Okay, so that's kind of our feature set. I'm sure we missed a couple little things, but those are the basic releases that came out of Lightroom 6. Now let's talk about what we think of it as just kind of a release, just the features that are there. And then we're going to talk about, you know, the actual things that we've actually seen and not just the marketing hype, but what our actual experience is with the software. So we see this and we see that Lightroom is now moving, that this is, you know, Adobe has already announced this is the last boxed version of Lightroom that we're going to see. From here on out, it's just Lightroom CC. It's just the Creative Cloud. You got to go a subscription after Lightroom 6. Does it look like Lightroom is pushing forward at the same pace that it did, that it has in the past?
I would say it's a little bit accelerated because I think that Adobe is trying to definitely push people onto the Creative Cloud subscription. When people ask me whether or not they should buy Photoshop Elements, I always tell them, no, I think I would just get the Creative Cloud subscription. I know it's a bigger pill to swallow to get the full-blown version of Photoshop, but in the same token, they are already up to Photoshop Elements 13 or 14, and it seems like it was yesterday we were working on 11, and I can see some substantial updates coming with the Creative Cloud version to where the boxed version is going to be upgraded for a small amount of time to fix all these bugs, but then they're going to throw some other features in there that are demanded by photographers and they're not going to be able to have it if they have the boxed version. I definitely see Adobe going that direction.
What do you think, Jeff? Do you think it's moving at the same pace, faster or slower?
Yeah, I think they have to in order to get people to be excited about Creative Cloud. If it goes too slowly, there's no advantage to having Creative Cloud. So you have to have constant continuous updates with new features and new availability. But at the same time, they made those features available to people who didn't have Creative Cloud in the past. So it wasn't a compelling thing other than you got Photoshop with it. That's really kind of the biggest part of Creative Cloud for photographers was that you got the two of them. And there were lots of reasons you had to do it. You mentioned one, Jim, with the gradient filters. And sometimes it looks so odd, you had to go into Photoshop and do it the right way in there with masking because you couldn't do it in Lightroom correctly. So they're adding features slowly into Lightroom that make it so that there's even less and less reason to go into Photoshop. And it's going to be interesting to see how they make Creative Cloud for photographers remain compelling in the future.
Yeah, as I look at the pace of the releases for Lightroom, and the only reason that I really care about the pace of the releases is I want to know that Adobe's got my back and they're going to keep pushing forward and not just play the monopoly card of there's not really a major competitor and so we can kind of sit on our laurels a little bit. If I look at Lightroom 5, I've got to say that was a little bit bigger of a release than Lightroom 6 or this new version of Lightroom is, but not by much. I would say it's mostly in line with the previous versions that we've seen of the software. Lightroom 5 was announced in June of 2013, And so, you know, we basically have 2 years, and it, you know, basically took them 2 years to add the mobile app, which I would argue is really sad. I don't know a lot of people that are loving it. You know, it's fine. I'm glad it's there, but definitely not a lot of photographers I see are real excited with it. We've added facial recognition and, you know, HDR and panoramas. Those are kind of the big ones in 2 years. That seems like a pretty slow pace to me, I've got to say. You know, and there are lots of little tweaks, but that doesn't hardly seem blazing fast by any means, especially with the speed of how technology changes. So that is a concern to me, especially where they're wanting us locked in on a monthly payment. I want to see quick results. And again, it's a good deal. I'm not concerned about $9.99 a month. It really is a good deal. But if that's the way they want to set this up to work, then I want to see them moving forward every month too. And so, you know, with 4 really major features added in 2 years, that's a pretty slow pace as far as I'm concerned. But again, I would say on par with the level of release that Lightroom 5 was.
Yeah, and with Lightroom Mobile, the reason I haven't downloaded it was because I was shopping for an iPad before the iPhone 6 Plus was released, and they said that you can only do global changes. So is that still the case where you can't use adjustment brushes? You're kind of out of luck if you want to throw in a gradient filter or something that's non-global?
Yeah, it's extremely basic. Very basic. I pull it up and I'm like, okay, where are the... Okay, you can't basically do anything. You can basically, you know, rate your photos by swiping up and stuff, and, you know, very, very basic stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to see that updated in the future. I think that with a Creative Cloud subscription and future renditions of the software, I think that they need to push that as well, because we're increasingly getting more on a mobile market and people want to be able to do stuff on the go. We hear other people in the photography industry talking about how great it is to have a Western Digital drive they can plug into their iPad and do all this work inside Lightroom. And then I scratch my head saying, well, how much work can you really do?
So they did add something fairly recently that... you can sort of cheat to get some of those effects. So they allowed you to do like you can copy settings and paste settings from photo to photo in Lightroom Desktop. They added that to Lightroom Mobile 3 or 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. So one of the suggestions I saw out there to cheat the system, even though the controls aren't there to add these things, was you could go create a collection that has some pre-canned effects. Like vignetting, I don't know, a few pre-canned effects that you might want to apply. And then you can put those in a collection that you sync, and then you can go to that collection, copy the settings, and paste it into another photo and have it get applied, kind of work around not having the controls.
It's something.
It's more effort than I'm willing to go to, but but it's there. But the thing that I think this is how Adobe's going to make it compelling to have Creative Cloud. I don't think you can have Creative Cloud if you don't do, or sorry, you can have Lightroom Mobile if you don't do Creative Cloud. And so
that's correct.
So then that means that's what's there. And I believe they are going to slowly put the more features in there over time, so you can do more and more through it. I even found it really kind of effective working with the customer and going through the photos and enlisting their help and calling them right there at the photo shoot. On the iPad with Lightroom Mobile, that was really powerful and worked great to do that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And did it work fast enough for that? I mean,
it really did.
Pop through a bunch of photos.
To make it better, even what we did is we hooked it up to an Apple TV, and so the whole family could see on the TV I was doing the iPad, and the whole family of the family we shot could see it. And then all the kids could be like, yeah, that one's 3 stars or 4 stars or no, kill that one. That one's terrible. And yeah, it worked very, very well. I was extremely happy with how that went.
That's pretty neat. Okay, so we've talked about the features that are there and kind of the pace of the development. Now let's let the rubber hit the road and let's talk about our actual experience with the software. But before we get to that, I want to take just a second and thank Animoto. Animoto is an awesome sponsor of the Improved Photography Podcast. I've noticed over the last, the last couple months that on Facebook is showing their own videos, the Facebook video, not like embedding our YouTube video, but Facebook videos. It's just showing like crazy. A friend of mine put up a you know, kind of personal video. It wasn't anything, you know, viral by any means. And I looked at it a couple days later, and it, you know, it shows you how many views, and it had like 850 views just between our two friends. And, you know, I just thought, wow, that is incredible that something like that, that wasn't even interesting, wasn't even an interesting video, could get spread that much. And then I thought, man, you know, photographers are working so hard to get their work seen, you know, just as individuals, you know, just to get recognition as a photographer and share your photos, or as a business to get the word out to people. You know, you make a post on Facebook and it isn't going to be 800 of your friends who see it. A few will, who are your closer friends. And I think it's an awesome, awesome use case for Animoto. You know, we just got back from China. We took a bunch of photos. And so right now I'm putting together an Animoto slideshow of the photos from it. And if I put it on YouTube, on Facebook, just upload it to Facebook, I mean, it just gets spread everywhere. Unbelievably how it can spread through just your friends, and then some of them can share it as well. So I think it's an awesome use case for Animoto. Animoto is the easiest way and to produce a professional quality slideshow of your work. It's not just a, you know, show a photo and a fade and another photo. It's, I mean, it looks beautiful. It's well designed. It's going to show your work the very best that it can. So you can get started with Animoto. I want you to go to animoto.com/improve. And when you go there, you'll see that you can get with the promo code improve, you get 15% off what is already a pretty darn good deal on your Animoto Pro subscription. So check that out at animoto.com/improve, and that'll give you 15% off. Well worth it just to try it out. I mean, Facebook videos have been going crazy to put it up there. And of course, you can use it, burn it on a DVD for your client, put it on YouTube, you know, just show it at a wedding reception. You can use it for any purpose you have. But that's one use case that I've been kind of excited by lately. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about our actual experience with Lightroom 6. I downloaded it in China. The internet was horrible in China. The Great Firewall is a very real thing. But I set it up to download one night, and we had enough hotel internet that just barely choked it out, and I was able to download. I tried it. First thing I did was put together a panorama. It was beautiful. Put the panorama together very quickly. And again, when it puts together a panorama, it's still giving you a DNG file format. So it's a raw panorama, which until now was really not possible. So really exciting. And it did an excellent job with the panorama. And that was the one bright spot I had in the whole thing. Since then, things have not gone so well with me and Lightroom 6. I have had just crash after crash. You know, it'll show a photo, you move a slider, and it reloads it, and it puts the slider back to zero. And you move the slider again, and it reloads it, puts it back to zero. And I just thought, man, it's such a mess. And so I was chatting with you guys on Facebook, and I said, I don't know what's going on. And Jeff said, well, maybe try reloading it. And so when I got home, I did a completely different install on a different catalog on my desktop, and the desktop has a very large, actually, GPU. So it should be accelerated majorly, that Adobe has promised us up to 1,000 times speed performance enhancements. And this is like the ideal computer for it, because I got a big old fatty GPU, and it was no better. I started running facial recognition, ran all through the night, and it's been going on for 15 hours now, chugging out the facial recognition, and is not even quite halfway done yet. I'm just getting constant crashes. Sometimes it makes my cursor disappear. I go into preferences and it won't let me change anything. I mean, it's just been unusable. Like, I really cannot use Lightroom right now. Now, my experience has been significantly worse than what I've seen from online, but as I've looked through the real blogs, not the ones that have backdoor deals with Adobe for a lot of advertising money, not to name names, but the people that are actually reviewing it, and almost all of them have said similar things, that they're having real serious performance issues. I posted about it on Facebook, and there were some people that are having no issues at all, and that's awesome. I'm glad to see that. But I would say 70% of the people on Facebook in our community said they are also having very significant issues with it. Jeff, what's your experience been?
My experience is still fairly limited. I haven't done a whole lot. I haven't done HDR yet or panos. I was going to do that Saturday. I was going to spend some time in there on some of my landscapes, but I did spend some time today. It ended up being about 3 hours of testing performance. So the biggest area, like I mentioned at the top of the show, was import time. The import time is takes forever to go and build those previews that I want, so that when I'm actually culling the photos, going through them and even editing them, I can flip from photo to photo much, much faster as long as those previews are already generated. So I click those checkboxes when I do imports to have those generated, and it takes some time. So I decided I wanted to do some tests. I wanted to do head-to-head between Lightroom 5 and Lightroom 6 just to test that, because that was advertised as one of the big focuses of the release, was making the import process much faster. So I was really excited for this. So I went and tried it. The makeup of the test was this. I created a brand new catalog, so we're not dealing with something where in 5 I had some massive catalog build up and 6 was fresh and clean. It was two fresh new catalogs. And then I import photos, and I did two different tests of different numbers and types of photos, but I selected to build the one-to-one in Smart Previews. And then I switch into, and I let it do that process all the way through until it's done, which you don't have to. If you're using Lightroom, as soon as those start, you can start editing the photos at the same time as building those previews. That's all can happen in the background. But I wanted to see if this was really faster, so I wanted to let that finish before I did anything else. And I switched to the develop module. I would zoom in one-to-one, and I'd go through 50 photos as fast as I could, waiting, though, on each one until that loading message goes away. And then added a gradient filter to 50 photos, and then stopped the stopwatch once that was all done. So the first type of test I did was 175 iPhone 6 JPEGs. And so they're much smaller, much easier to deal with. And Lightroom 5 still ended up being faster, but only about 3% faster. In a 5-minute overall process to do all of that I just talked about, it was only 10 seconds faster than Lightroom 6. But that
yeah, baby, 10 seconds.
Well, no, but Lightroom 6 was slower. It wasn't.
Oh,
it wasn't not so the five. Good then. No, 5 was faster. So that made me worried. I was hoping, because I knew the other way importing RAWs would take a lot longer, so the testing time would take a lot longer, and I wasn't excited about waiting that long. So, but it was disturbing. I was like, oh gosh, does that mean this thing is really not faster? It's actually slower. I decided I better go do the test of the real scenario, because I get most of my photos from my camera. Well, those are the ones I spend time in Lightroom. The ones from the iPhone, I usually just post them up as they were. It doesn't make much difference to take it in the Lightroom. But so I did another test. I took all of the photos from a photo shoot I did. It was 971 RAW photos. And I imported them in, same thing, empty catalog, same testing process, build the previews, go do the develop module one-to-one, go through them, add the gradient. And it took 42 minutes and 47 seconds for Lightroom 5 to do that. And then it took 1 hour, 18 minutes, and 52 seconds for Lightroom 6. So Lightroom 5 was 1.8 times faster than Lightroom 6, almost twice as fast to do the import process.
Just imagine how many photo tacos you could listen to in that time frame.
Right.
Just imagine how many tacos you could eat in that much time.
Maybe that's my problem. Yeah, so you know, that's really disheartening to me. That was the thing
it's embarrassing
to most. It really is. You know what it feels like though, Jim? You mentioned the speed of how they're fast they're releasing it. It feels like they released it when it wasn't ready. It feels like because of this pressure to release early and often. And I mean, I'm hearing that happening with lots of different software companies now. That's the mantra they follow, is release early and often, learn from the failures, learn what doesn't work, and go fix it. Like, you know, it's okay to let your customers test it for you and tell you where it's failing. And as long as I might be willing to accept that to some degree. I think this is too big a degree, But they'd have to do something like within a month, they got a release to say, okay, we've fixed a whole bunch of stuff. So we'll see what happens over the next month. But boy, I'm severely disappointed in the performance improvements. It doesn't seem to really matter. I do need to say, though, that once the previews are all built, then moving from photo to photo felt about the same to me in Lightroom 6 as it did in 5. So at least there's that for me. I know, Jim, you're having lots more problems than that. But for me, maybe it's because I'm on Windows. I don't know if that's the difference. But at least once those previews are made, once the import process is done, it seems acceptable.
I'm glad to hear that. And again, on our Facebook page, about 30% of the people said they're having no issues and everything seems to be humming along just fine. So I am glad that it's working for some people. I'm not okay with them using me as a beta tester. With other releases of Lightroom, they have released a beta for a long time, 5 months or so, before the final version came out. It looks like if they're not going to have it more polished before sending out, they need to go back to the beta testing program, or they need to polish this sucker off before they push it out. That's a major concern with having this, it's not cloud software, but this continuously updated software is that it needs to be ready when you push it out. Otherwise, you have professional photographers who need this for their business. If it's just going to push out an update, we're going to update, right? Because we assume it's going to be ready. When it's this kind of software that's continuously updated, you have a higher degree of expectation than just, you know, the major new release of something that you kind of expect there are going to be bugs in. But the way they've set this up as a subscription, we have a higher standard of what we expect when the Adobe updater pops up and says, hey, go get the new version. We expect it to be ready for a professional environment. So I don't know. I'm not okay with being a beta tester if we're gonna run it this way. You know, the fact that a new version is gonna have bugs is fine, but if there are this many bugs, it needs a beta version first.
Yeah, because I actually haven't installed it. I remember we were sitting on one of the buses to go to another location in China after you downloaded it, and you were telling me, you said, yeah, I think I found about 6 different bugs already, and that was enough for me to just say, nope, I don't want it yet.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about little minor bugs. I'm talking about, like, I can't edit this photo bugs. Like, so, you know, 4 or 5 photos would work fine, everything's beautiful, and then I'd go to one photo, and you move all the sliders in psycho directions, makes no effect on the photo. And again, that's not just one install. That's on my laptop and on the desktop. Really the same story.
So let's talk then briefly about probably what the recommendation is. And it's probably not unique to this release. It probably would be with any release going forward. The last couple of major releases of Lightroom have been a bit rocky. If your business relies on it, then you need to do whatever you can to avoid having that trouble. What advice do you think you have, Jim, on making sure that you don't suffer a problem with your business?
Well, you can put it on 2 machines, and so what I'm going to do from now on is I'm going to have my laptop be the guinea pig, and as soon as something pops up, I'm going to put it on my laptop and test it out, because I need to. I want to talk about it on the website, because that's how most of you guys find out about bugs, is if we're talking about it. So that's going to be my guinea pig, and I'm going to leave my desktop as one that I can rely on that I know is going to work. So I think that's what I'm going to do going forward. And you know, if you have, well, whatever version of Lightroom you bought, you have 2 seats. So if you have 2 computers, that's one quick workaround is to just have one computer that you just hold off a little bit on. I have every expectation that the bugs we're talking about now are going to be nothing but a distant memory in 2 months. But they're real now, very real now. And so I think it's important to talk about.
I think there's a couple of other things that they could do. If you don't have 2 machines, then you can do like I just did today. I have on a single machine, I have both installed. I think you can do that just fine on the Mac, can't you, Jim?
Yeah, you can. The only issue is that when you go to Lightroom 6, it wants to upgrade your catalog.
Which is going to be my point.
You've messed with your database.
My point would be, don't have it upgrade your catalog for you until you have used it on, say, a new catalog and tried out some things. That's exactly what I've done. My catalog is still Lightroom 5, and I am not going to change it right now. And I just created a new catalog, Lightroom 6, and went and tried the features, went and imported some of the photos. And if your experience turns out good from that experiment, then maybe you'd consider, you might even want to give it a week or two, but then you could consider changing, converting your real Lightroom catalog over. But I would suggest that. And then there's also a good way to back it up. You can back up your catalog. There's lots of instructions online about how to do that. So go back up your catalog. If you've decided to do it, back up the catalog so you can always get back, and then you could go do it after you've kind of experimented.
Yeah, that's good advice. And when you are, if you are working on those two catalogs, you can of course just import a catalog. So once you decide, okay, we're good and we can move on to the next one, you can just import the catalog that you're working on now, the guinea pig catalog into a new one, and then you're all back, put back, Humpty Dumpty's put back together again. Okay, we got some real rocky issues, but there are some cool things. Facial recognition, I really am excited about. When you start up Lightroom and on the new version, as soon as you click the little face icon in the library module, it brings you up to a page where it just kind of, well, it asks you, do you want to just look through the current photos, or do you want to look through your whole catalog? I would recommend first look through just your current photos and go piece by piece and slowly add more photos to it. The issue that I'm having is if you click look through my whole catalog, then it scans through the whole, you know, whatever 20,000, 50,000 photos, and it finds all the faces. And so it just has pictures of faces, and it wants you to tag it with a name now. First of all, this face tagging is extremely slow. Hopefully, it'll speed up once it's finished going through the whole catalog, but it's extremely slow right now. But if you go piece by piece, then it learns what Ruger Harmer's face looks like. It looks like what my wife Emily Harmer's face looks like. It learns what my face looks like. And so if you just do 20, 50 photos at a time and you tag each person, it gets a little bit smarter each time at recognizing what the face is. So the reason that I strongly recommend going piece by piece for a while is that when you go through the whole catalog, You want Lightroom to already have a pretty good idea of what the main faces in your life look like. If you go through the whole catalog and you do it backwards, you haven't taught it some of the faces already, now you have 50,000 faces that it's going to tag way wrong, and it's going to take you way longer to actually get all your photos tagged properly. So go piece by piece when you're doing the facial recognition. It's not going to save you a little time. It's going to save you days of tagging if you go little by little. So that's facial recognition. I think it has promise. It's not nearly as good. I mean, not even in the same ballpark as the facial recognition on Facebook. You know, when you upload a photo to Facebook and it just automatically tags or says, is this who's in the photo? It's scary good how good Facebook's is. Lightroom's not that scary. I had a picture of my two boys on Ronald McDonald's lap, you know, the fake little Ronald McDonald in the McDonald's play place. It thought Ronald McDonald was my wife. And then it went through all my photos of Yellowstone, and it felt that my wife was a buffalo and that my nephew was a wolf. I mean, it's really not that good of facial recognition if you're used to what we're seeing on Facebook. I mean, it's just amazing that it can do it. It's cool, and I'm glad it's there, but don't expect too much. It's not nearly as good as some of the facial recognition that we've seen in other software programs. I have every expectation that it's going to get there. At what pace, I don't know. But I think it's going to get there. But it was underwhelming for sure. And that's Lightroom 6. Any other final words on the software or what you've thought of it so far?
I'm just going to wait for you guys to give me the green flag that it's working well. And then from there, I'll just be like, all right, I'll jump on board. But otherwise, I'll let you hash through everything that's going on with it.
I do think it's going to be my main place to do panos now. Although I'm going to have to compare it against the Microsoft tool because that one's really impressive too. But I'm probably going to be using it to do all of my panos.
Yeah, and it seemed to do a really good job. I only tried it on a couple panoramas, and I mean, it was everything I expected. I had no problems. I always overlap a lot more than people do, than most people do on the photos. Oh, yeah. So it's pretty easy to stitch the panoramas that I shoot, but it did a really good job. It was everything that I expected in terms of panoramas. I want to tell you guys about something really exciting that we're doing on Monday. So we record these podcasts just one day in advance. It's Wednesday and we usually release it on a Thursday. On Monday, May 4th, for only 48 hours, we are running the Lightroom Steal. We do this every Black Friday. Every Black Friday, we have the Lightroom Steal, and I'm working on presets to making them as perfect as possible with the newest trends of whatever kind of people are doing, the newest looks in photography, using the newest tools, whatever Lightroom brought out, like a little bit better black and whites in this release. So I'll definitely have some black and whites in the next release. I work the whole year on a set of about 75 presets, but I also do, a major training that goes with it. You get a bunch of other goodies, just a big old package of stuff. We do a webinar, especially for the people that buy the Lightroom Steal, and we do it every Black Friday. But I get hate mail. I mean, serious hate mail when the Lightroom Steal ends for the people that misses it, because it's over $400 of stuff that we do, and people have paid it over $400 for that package. It's worth that price, even though it's expensive. It's a lot of stuff in there. But we do it at a crazy, insane price on Black Friday for $39 for the whole package. So it's been very, very popular. I know tons of you use it because I get comments like almost on it, well, at least weekly, but maybe even on a daily basis of emails or tweets or Facebook comments of people who are using the presets and are loving it. Somebody just posted last week, said they won a photo contest using the one of the presets on their photo. It's really, really fun. And I put so much work into it that I'm really happy to see that people love it so much. But so many people miss it on Black Friday who are busy with the holidays that we offer it just one time for 48 hours, 6 months later. And this one is going to be May 4th. So May 4th, 48 hours is your chance to pick up the Lightroom Steal, the 2015 Lightroom Steal. So this is the one we had on Black Friday. This is the second time and the very last time you will ever times a million be able to pick it up at this price. From here on out, it's over $400 and it will not change for any reason. This isn't like a furniture store that has a sale every Friday. We do it on Black Friday and we do it once in the middle of the year and that is it. So this is your last chance. I don't want you to miss out because I do get people sad. I mean, I've had people call me like literally yelling that they missed the sale and were like, why won't you? It's like, I'm sorry, you missed the sale. The sale ends and that's what we do. So be sure to check it out Monday, May 4th on improvephotography.com. You won't be able to miss it. I'll send out a special podcast episode to remind you. If you didn't pick up the 2015 Lightroom Steal on Black Friday this last year, this is your last chance to get it. Darren, I know you use the presets sometimes. What have you thought about it?
I think they're great. I think that the 2014 ones and the 2015 ones, they've grown each and every year. You're taking advantage of everything that Lightroom has to offer. And it's really exciting to be able to import a photo and put a preset on them to give me a foundation on them. And then sometimes before I go through and delete 2-star photos on my drives to conserve space, I'll apply a preset to a bunch of photos, sync them together, and it's like a light bulb goes off in my head. I'm like, oh, this photo is actually pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it because it is that starting point. You know, if you want to tweak it from there on, do. That's great. Sometimes I hear people saying, no, I don't use presets. I like to do everything by hand and not just put some canned look on my photo. And I was thinking, well, so do I, of course. Nobody wants that. But I mean, like 90% of the time when I apply a preset, it's something that I thought, oh, I wouldn't have really thought to go black and white on this. But when you can just pull up a photo and just mouse over your presets and you just quickly see, 20 different styles in a few seconds, like it's incredible how often I see a photo that I thought, ah, that actually looks pretty darn cool in black and white, or, you know, that one looks really cool with kind of a desaturated, grungy look. And it's the way to get inspiration. You can do it from there. Also, you can make your own Lightroom presets. You don't have to buy them. In fact, in the video training that I give out, I teach you how to make your own Lightroom presets. And I definitely think everybody should be making their own Lightroom presets. And if so, this is a way to learn from it. But also, I spend all year working on the Lightroom presets. This is not something you can throw together in a weekend and recreate. And I think getting somebody else's take on it, seeing the way that somebody else does it, really helps to get that creativity pumping. So Monday, May 4th, 48 hours. Check it out on improvephotography.com. The 2015 Lightroom Steel. This is your last opportunity. And again, I will release a special podcast episode on Monday just to make sure you don't forget and send me more hate mail. Well, thanks everybody for listening in to the Improve Photography podcast. We really appreciate your download and support of Improve Photography. Have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.